Sometimes when I feel melancholic, I really dread Christmas. People on the sidewalk, gazing into screens, talking into their mobile phones, waiting for money that comes out of the walls. Everyone stressed in the fairy light. The relentless cry of the pogues from every shop doorway. Happy Christmas, you're ours. But occasionally, I can hear something beyond the traffic or the sound of rain sweeping the streets. I can almost hear something like angels in these laneways, singing Hosanna in the doorways and alleyways, where strangers stand in out of the rain, where the homeless sleep and shelter from the storm. I would still like to believe in angels, because this darkness of winter couldn't possibly be all that there is.
And that's Hardin Christmas there from the Murray Christmas CD. We're launching it this morning in a very busy Dundrum town centre. And Michael Hardin, you're very welcome. And as someone myself who has experienced depression, you've been there too.
I have, yeah.
This is tough. This is a tough time.
Actually, when you say, when you mention yourself, John, let me say, I think that, you know, you do a lot of giving on this show, and fair play to you. But I know there's a lot of people around every kitchen in Ireland at the minute, and they're wishing you well, and they're so happy that, you know, you had a normal thing. You weren't too good for a while, and then look at you. You're just glowing, and you're doing great work, and you're giving. So I think an awful lot of people in Ireland are saying, hello, John Murray, and fair fex to you.
I think okay. I'll employ you as my agent. Yeah. Anyway.
And the only thing I have to say, the only thing I have to say about this LP is I don't think that Michael Hardin fella should be on it. Lord Jesus. There's people waking up in beds, right, trying to not be depressed, and they hear that fecker whinging again. You see, that's Hardin whinging, you know?
Exactly.
So well, I do a bit of whinging, but I'm sorry about that.
Well, you can do
it. And I shouldn't be on it, because the rest of the people on it are so good. Mm. I'm humbled to be there with people like Mick Flannery and Damien Dempsey and Lisa Hannigan and Emer Quinn. And every single one of those people, they recorded specially for this. This is not just taking their music. This is all these individual artists did this for John Murray and for this Aware campaign. And like, I always remember what Beethoven once said, that great art is something that has to go from heart to heart, right? There can't be any kind of intellectual bits in it. It has to be from your heart. Now, musicians do that all the time. The violin player, the singer, the Lisa Hannigan, the whoever it is, Mick Flannery, or, you know, Walking on Cars, or the concert orchestra, they're making stuff from their heart, and they're making it for you. They're making it for the person who's listening to them. You know, they're not just a machine. The music is not coming out of the wall. These are real people who went in to do this personally for John Murray and for Aware. And I feel really humbled. I really do. I shouldn't be on it.
Well, no, you should indeed. And thank you for your contribution. It's a very important contribution to the overall project. Michael Hardin, it's great to have you along this morning. Yeah. I'll put your music critic hat on. Give us your lowdown.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm not a music critic. That's the first thing to say. But I'm a real traditional Christmas lover. I love Christmas. I love all the glamour, I love the excitement, I love the sense of anticipation of Santa Claus for the grandchildren, and I love Midnight Mass, all that kind of stuff. I love Christmas. And what I loved about this particular album is the fact that there's such a great variety. It's not it's not a cliche. I think I always play Christmas music at home around Christmas, but it effectively is a bit of a cliche because you have a variation on a theme all the way. So this is, in my judgment, terrific. I enjoyed it immensely because it's a compilation of the essence of Christmas, but in terms of the sense of loss that some people have because they won't be at home, the entertainment, the enjoyment, and then great performances as well.
And I'm just thinking it's a 3-4-7 formation, Bill, in sporting terms. That are three readings, four instrumentals, and seven singers. So.
Well, can I tell you that Michael Harding is here, and I'm delighted to meet him, Michael, by the way, we have met before. I love Michael's piece. I thought it was terrific, the melancholy piece about Christmas and seeking true meaning behind the light and the noise and the angels and wondering whether or not there was more to life than winter rain. And if you must believe in angels in all probability.
Yes.
Maria Welsh, the Rose of Tralee, she reads John O'Donoghue's Beannacht, and that was a lovely, I thought, evocative piece. And I love the blessing, may a flock of colours come to awaken in you a meadow of delight. Mm. And beyond that, of course, then you had Stopping by Wood by Robert Frost, and that's a very haunting piece, and I thought that was read by Alan Leach with great sensitivity, and it was a wonderful sense of occasion. And then of course you've got all the music is terrific, and of course, again, when I say that I'm a traditionalist, I was delighted to see that in the middle of it, Oh Holy Night, because by a mile that is my favourite carol.
Good
and
stuff.
I thought it was beautifully sung by Eimear Quinn.
Well, you're not doing bad now for a newly arranged music critic, and thanks for coming along this morning. What do you do, by the way, because all the proceeds go to AWARE, an organisation which does a lot for people with depression. How do you look after your own mental health?
Well, I've been very lucky that I'm very happily married, thank God, and I have a lovely family who look after me and they buoy me up. But the interesting thing is that I went through a phase about 5 years ago when I was cranky, and that's not my normal form, you know, and I wasn't in good form. So my three ladies, that's Hillary, my wife, Jill and Sally, my two daughters, said, okay, you must get an MOT, get a proper checkup. And I discovered, I was a little bit depressed, I was down, but I discovered I had cancer. A cancer of the colon, and that was what the cause of the problem was. And they took out a growth, believe it or not, as big as a lemon, which was cancerous but hadn't spread. And they took out a yard and a half of my intestine, and everything was grand thereafter. And I lifted up again. But I don't suffer from depression. Mm. But my wife Hillary will tell you that I'm a half empty person. I always look at the downside
the downside of things,
but not in a really depressed way.
You're a glass half empty man.
Exactly.
Well, as I say, thanks a million, Bill, for coming along this morning to launch the CD.
I think you've done it again, John. Mm-hmm. And I hope that it makes even more money than you made for Wear last year.
Yes.
So it's a terrific thing you've done. So well done.
Cheers, Bill.
Congratulations.
And thanks for being here. And that brings us nicely along to our next guest this morning. Dr. Claire Hayes is Clinical Director of AWARE. And Claire, this is the second time around with the Murray Christmas CD. Are you happy with the way it's worked out?
Oh, John, we are absolutely thrilled. And thank you so much. And to Elizabeth and the team and all the artists, the orchestra. It's fantastic. And as Bill has said, the actual CD, it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I was saying to Elizabeth, I couldn't get out of the car this morning. It was pretty early. I was listening to it. It was my second time listening to it, and I started back at the first track, and I really wanted to stay in the car and listen to it again.
So that's a good sign anyway.
It's fantastic. And thank you for choosing AWARE. We have made such good use of the funds that you gave before. 2 years ago, I was here talking about the life skills. Now I can say that over 5,000 people have availed of the life skills from AWARE. That's
right.
Free. Six-session program that introduces CBT, cognitive behavioral principles. It's a nationwide program and it's free. So AWARE needs funds, and we don't go out throwing buckets at people. So the generosity of the John Murray Show and people who buy this CD, it's really fantastic. Thank you.
And of course, this is a very important time of year for people who suffer the blues, because it's just not easy for them to get into the spirit of Christmas.
Absolutely, and I would echo what Bill said in terms of Michael's wonderful poem and the way he reads it, and the lines really struck resonance with me as well about somebody who's feeling down, and really the fairy tale, but the falseness that can be behind it for some people can be so difficult, and yet there is a magic and a beauty in Christmas that's there. And I was really struck as well by the lines of stopping by woods in the snowy evening. These woods are lonely, dark and deep, but I've promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. And I heard them on the CD in a different way than I've ever heard them before. And I suppose working with Aware, I'm very aware that a lot of people listening to us might actually not be in good form. Mm-hmm. They might not be wanting to hear Jingle Bells. And to think that they might be thinking that actually it's time for me to stop. Sure. And I've had enough and I don't want to keep going. And the line that I've promised us to keep, and I think for every single one of us, there were people who want us to keep going. Sure. And they really want us to. So the CD is fabulous.
Well, Claire, thanks for coming along this morning. Claire Hayes, Clinical Director.
Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening by Robert Frost. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near, between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sound's a sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. And miles to go before I sleep.
As you've heard, the organisation Aware benefits from sales of the CD. About 300,000 of us in this country suffer from depression at some stage of our lives. And as well as assisting those affected by depression, Aware also actively encourages and helps people to learn the skills needed to stay mentally healthy in their life skills courses. Colm Flynn dropped in on a session led by Tina Kinnearns.
Welcome back in, everyone, this evening. I'm delighted to see so many of you back here again for our third evening together. So last week we had a look yet again at our vicious circle, where we look at what's going on inside of each of us as we respond and react to the circumstances and the not so nice things that life tends to throw at us as we're going through life.
I decided to come because I've suffered with anxiety, which has accelerated in the last few years, and I have had counselling, which is finished, so I decided to do these courses.
Some people listening maybe who haven't suffered from anxiety before might be wondering, how does that manifest itself, let's say for you in your own day-to-day life?
A fear of going out, or a fear of staying in, or fear of being alone. Just different fears that were starting to affect me in my everyday life. They used to be about big situations like an interview or a driving test. But over time, they became about simple things like just bringing my kids to school or going to a supermarket. And I knew then that I just had to do something about it to control the anxiety, because it was controlling me a lot more.
How did you hear about Aware? How did you first become involved with their programs?
I saw a post on Facebook. I follow Aware on Facebook, and I saw the post about the Life Skills Programme, and I read about it, and I hemmed and hawed. And a friend of mine said to me one morning, will you just sign up and do that course and stop talking about it? And signing up was really hard, and coming the first week was really hard, and I was really quite anxious about coming. And actually, it's lovely. It's a lovely group. It's very relaxing. Everybody there has got something, and I'm really learning a lot from the course every week.
How, in the midst of all of this, dealing with those feelings of depression, feeling of low mood, those feelings of anxiety, how can I get myself back to doing something I love and something that gave me so much pleasure in the past?
Why did you get involved in the Aware program?
Well, I got involved because I had a bit of a breakdown about 10 years ago. I suffer a lot of anxiety and depression ever since.
And when you said it struck 10 years ago, was it something that happened suddenly, or was it something that had been brewing for a while?
Well, if I go by a therapist, it would probably have been brewing for a while. But there was a catalyst, and that was my marriage broke down at that particular time, and I didn't see it coming. And that was the catalyst. From then on, it's been my constant companion. Well, it took me a while to recognise that there was something wrong. My first step was to go to a doctor. I went to a doctor who put me on medication. Initially, it seemed to work, but it returned. And then eventually, I decided that I would also need a support group.
And you said that it became your companion after that. So how often does your companion come to visit now?
You mightn't believe this, but every morning. Yeah. Every morning. Morning is generally a bad time for people who suffer from anxiety and depression, as I've discovered. I wake up with it. I won't say it's like a hangover. It's about 10 times worse.
Does it take a lot of strength to push yourself to get out of the bed and to go and deal with the day and do the things that you have to do?
Because it happens all the time, and because at night time, as a, you know, I'm talking now, it seems illogical and ridiculous. But when it happens in the morning, it takes over. And it's very hard to, for anybody to understand that. So it does take strength to just get out of the bed. And as I said tonight, to just take small steps, get to the bathroom, wash your teeth, have your breakfast. And more important, and I learned this from the recovery, give yourself a pat in the back for each small step. And as the day goes on, it gets easier.
Your friends and family, those who are close to you and were close to you, did they notice anything in you?
You see, Colm, I did a lot of amateur acting, you know. Initially, it wasn't a question of them noticing it, but I was the type, and it was probably a little bit of a saving grace for me, that I ran for help. And I was able to talk it out, to cry and get upset and to scream and all the rest of it. But looking back, it was good that I was able to do that. Some people hold it in all the time. I'm able to cope with it better, which is the kernel. Like, I accept it may go someday. I'd love to wake up some morning and say, hey, Charlie, you're gone. Great, goodbye. And that's what I hope. But I've also accepted it may not.
So thank you all so much for coming along this evening. And I'm really looking forward to meeting up with you again, same time, same place, next week.
This is my winter song for you. The storm is coming soon. It rolls in from the sea. My voice a beacon in the night. My words will be your light to carry you to me. Is love alive? Is love alive? Is love alive? This say that things just cannot grow beneath the winter snow, or so I have been told. They say we're buried far, just like a distant star I simply cannot hold. Is love alive? Is love alive? Is love alive? This is my winter song. December never felt so wrong. Is you not where you belong? Inside my arms.
Now, stress, anxiety and depression are for most a fact of modern life, and one in 14 workers will suffer from depression at some time in their lives. I'm joined now by Dr. Declan Lyons, who is a consultant psychiatrist at St. Patrick's Hospital. Declan, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, John.
And what about the problem of depression in the workplace?
I think there's a huge issue with depression in the workplace. As you say, one in 14 people may experience it, and indeed I've heard statistics even as many as one in eight people may experience it, so it is very significant. And people may have a real issue about disclosing depression to their boss particularly.
Why?
Well, they feel that there are a lot of misconceived ideas about the causes of depression out there. People may feel themselves that they may be seen as different or weak or less capable than their colleagues, and people may feel, you know, their promotional prospects in the organization may fall off a cliff, literally, or they feel they might be professionally marginalized in an organization. So there are real and genuine concerns about this whole issue of disclosing depression. Now, I should say from the outset that people are not, obliged to tell their boss that they have experienced depression.
But is it the case then that a lot of people actually just try and struggle through it rather than getting help?
That is very often the case. And, you know, I think you've got to strike the right balance. I think it may be appropriate to take your boss into, your confidence, or your HR manager, or indeed your colleague in the desk beside you. If, for example, the illness is prolonged or you've had significant absences from work, at that point I think it's appropriate to look for support. But always you have to ask yourself, what are you gaining from this disclosure? Is the environment in which you're making this disclosure supportive or not?
And what about the stigma attached to depression? Is it still very much there?
It is. It's still a very live issue for a lot of people, unfortunately. I think that's changing, thankfully. I think with the good work that Aware is doing with events like these, we are certainly breaking down barriers more and more, and that is very, very welcome.
Now, next up is an actor who has been one of the stars of the year. Please welcome, a woman who was mainly known this year as Siobhan from Love Hate, but she is a fine actor in her own right, from Wexford, Charlie Murphy.
I didn't have time to prepare a song or indeed learn an instrument. You give me a few more days, John. So I decided to read a letter. A couple of months ago, I was lucky enough to take part in a show called Letters Live, where we read letters live. So I chose one tonight in hopes that maybe it would encourage one or two of you to pick up a pen and write to someone that's been on your mind. It will be sunny one day. Early 2006, during a bout of depression, a young lady by the name of Crystal wrote a desperate letter to Stephen Fry. Here is his response. Dear Crystal, I'm so sorry to hear that life is getting you down at the moment. God knows, it can be tough when nothing seems to fit and little seems to be fulfilling. I'm not sure there's any specific advice that I can give you that will help bring life back a bit of savor. Although they mean well, it's sometimes quite galling to be reminded how much people love you when you don't love yourself that much. I found that it's of some help to think of one's moods and feelings about the world as being similar to the weather. Here are some obvious things about the weather. It's real. You can't change it by wishing it away. If it's dark and rainy, it really is dark and rainy, and you can't alter that. It might be dark and rainy for 2 weeks in a row, but it will be sunny one day. It isn't under one's control as to when the sun comes out, but it will, one day. It really is the same with one's moods, I think. The wrong approach is to believe that they are illusions. They are real. Depression, anxiety, listlessness. They are as real as the weather, and equally not under one's control, no one's fault. But they will pass, they really will. In the same way that one has to accept the weather, so one has to accept how one feels about life sometimes. Today is a crap day, is a perfectly realistic approach. It's all about finding a kind of mental umbrella. Hey ho, it's raining inside. It isn't my fault and there's nothing I can do about it but sit it out. But the sun may well come out tomorrow, and when it does, I shall take full advantage. I don't know if any of that is of any use. It may not seem it, and if so, I'm sorry. I just thought I'd drop you a line to wish you well in your search to find a little more pleasure and purpose in life. Very best wishes, Stephen Fry. Thank you.
I'd like to especially thank all our artists tonight: Lisa Hannigan, Charlie Murphy, Declan O'Rourke, Michael Harding, The Riptide Movement, Emer Quinn, Zoe Conway, Donal Lunny and Martin O'Connor, Mick Flannery, Joseph O'Connor, Cathy Davey and Walking on Cars. So all that's left for me to do is to say continue in your support for Aware, and thank you for supporting them here tonight so directly. And there are still copies of the CD left, by the way. And thank you one and all again for being here tonight. Safe home, Nollaig Chonaill.
Santa heard a carol on the radio while tinkering with something in his shed. He just stopped what he was doing. For a second he just froze. And his famous smile appeared, then his beard twitched, and then his nose. And he thought, this is the start of Christmas. And he turned and ran inside and shouted, all production stop! Wrapping paper, ribbons, scissors, everybody wrap! Mrs. Claus called in the reindeer, all the chief elves gather round, send a robin out to spread the news. 'Cause I just heard the sound, and that means this is the start of Christmas. It's just around the corner once again. This is the start of Christmas. Our favorite time of the year begins. Now some of Santa's helpers went to fetch the tallest tree. The reindeer started skidding in ones and twos and threes. Santa called a huddle, all the reindeer by their heads. You could barely hear the whispers, but I'll tell you what he said. Time to start your training, boys. We've got no time for chats. Each year we fly you faster. Can you beat last year or what? All the reindeer snapped their hooves. Good, Santa said, that's that. Start piling on the fat, boys. You're gonna need it. Where's my hat? This is the start of Christmas. It's just around the corner once again. This is the start of Christmas. Our favorite time of the year begins. Now down below in People Land, they heard the carol too. And all the children shouted out, hooray! They're turning on the lights in every town and singing songs for good old Santa Claus on Christmas Day. Turkeys run for cover, little children, I propose. Post your letters up the chimney quick before they clog with snow. 'Cause this is the start of Christmas. It's just around the corner once again. This is the start of Christmas. Our favorite time of the year begins. This is the start of Christmas. It's just around the corner once again. This is the start of Christmas. Do you hear?